Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Holler at your head, man. Yeah. Here we go, turn it up, let's start. A block to block, the snatching heart, the Jack and Mark. And the punk police can't face the American. We can have peace, some safety. But right now, I got my mind set up. Looking down the bottle, I'm a gun, scared up. Cause it's time to make the payback back to my brothers on the block. Better stay strapped, it's black. And accept no substitutes. I bring troops to the youth, tear a roof over the whole school. Yeah.
Oh, for the unity and the redemption of the African world.
Salute the honorable Marcus Garvey.
We were not ready to listen then.
They might not have been ready then.
There's wonder whether we are ready.
Ain't no doubt about it.
To listen.
We ready, baby.
Now.
Let's go. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Flag fly high. Woo! Flag fly high. Flag fly high. With the side to side, it's the flag fly high.
Colors forever, Garvey would never die. On my nine in the throne ready, let's take a ride. Tax won't fix, me and don't choose a side. This is the path for the warriors. Seldom travel, yet still bad glory, yes. Black power represents us. You either rolling with Africa or against us.
Black Power, brother. One love, brother. You've been reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have a very packed broadcast for you tonight. In the second hour of this broadcast, we'll hear from Brother Kofi Taharka, National Chairman of the National Black United Front.
One love, brother. One love. Jumbo and Habaragani in Swahili, the words of What's the News. Welcome to this evening's New Black Panther Party and New African Network Thursday night business broadcast. This is Thursday, September 23rd, 2021, and I'm your co-host, Brother Eugene Telford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. The New Black Panther Party and the New African Network extends a big up to all our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black Grassroots Organizations United, over 300,000 networking Black businesses, Black activists, Black for-profit and nonprofit organizations working together, putting in that work, making our communities safer, making our communities greater. A big Asante go out to, as usual, Dada Crystal Muhammad and Kaka Khadib Sadiq, and along with the rest of our Black Nation builders, people forever making it happen. As usual, a big shout out to all of our sponsors, our supporters, our partners, BNT, which is the Black Nation Troops, the New Black Panther Party Black Cross staff, the medical and social workers team, our contributors, and people like you. We are working together to make a difference. We are one united African peoples. We are one united Africa. So let's jump the night off with tonight's business broadcast and highlights of the African stock market and exchange report. First up, we have Ghana. The Ghanaian Stock Exchange, GSE, closed the day at 2,675.79 at 44.92%. This reflects a change of 138.59 on the index. Year to date, the market was also up by 734.20 at 37.81%. The market capped off the day at 62.28 billion, and that was the end of the trade on the GHS. Next up, we have the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, closing at 64,049.05. It was up by 1.1%. This reflects an increase of 696. Year to date, the market was also up by 4,640.37 at 7.81% increase. The market capped off today at 17.44 trillion on the ZAR. Next up, we have the Nairobi Security Stock Exchange, another NSE, closed at 178.33. It was up by 0.07%, approximately 0.3% on the trade today. Year to date, the market was also up by 26.22 at 17.24%. That was the increase for this time last year. And the market capped off at 2.71 trillion on the end of the KES trade for today. Next up, we have the Nigerian Stock Exchange, another NSE, closed the day at 38,874.13. It was up by 0.06% at plus 21.44 on the trade index. Year to date, the market was down at negative 139.659. That's approximately 3.4% difference as opposed to last year, and it was in the negative, but the market capped off at 20.26 trillion at the end of the day on the Nigerian Stock Exchange, the Intrade Index. And last up, we have the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange closing at 7,374.18. It was up by 3.11%, approximately 222.39 on the trade index. Year to date, it was 4,737.84. That's a big plus for them this time last year at 179.71% increase, with the market capping today at 884.6 billion. And that was the end of the day on the ZWL. This is day 569, Black Nation Report on the Haitian people on the border conflict. As we talk about the many things that our Black people and perhaps some of us go through personally, going through what we are having to deal with seems to be continuous and on regular. As we are the people of a nation, of a Black nation, of a Black nation rising, it brings to me the gurgitation of words of encouragement, of self-motivation, with the abilities to speak truth to power to all men, both in high and low places. Human rights and human dignity and respect, enough respect for the Black man and the Black woman, enough respect as a man thinketh. The words of wisdom and encouragement. As a man, a mind may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligent
intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild, but whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put into place and to which it is of abundance and nonetheless a useless weed or a seed will fall therein and continue to produce the same of its kind. Man is made or unmade by himself in the armory of thoughts and the foregoes of weapons by which it destroys or he destroys himself. He also fashions the tools which he builds for himself, heavenly mansions of joy and strait and peace, thought allied fearlessly to a purpose that becomes creativity and the creativity force. He who knows this is ready to become something higher and stronger than a mere bundle of wavering thoughts. Wavering thoughts and the fluctuation of sensation. He who does this has become conscious and intelligent wildly of his mental powers. Only the wise man, only he whose thoughts are controlled and purified, makes the winds of the storms of the soul obey him. As one of our great and dear brothers who had once spoken out loudly, Patrice Lumumba, the colonizers and the supremacists care nothing about the sake of African peoples or the continent of Africa itself. They are attracted to the African riches of their actions and are guided by the desires to preserve their interests. Without dignity, there is no liberty. Without justice, there is no dignity. And without independence, there is no free man. African unity and solidarity are no longer dreams. They must be expressed in the decisions, in our decisions. Tuko Pamoja, which means we are together. One love, and I'll digress the mic briefly to Brother Cassius Sadiq. One love. Brother Eugene, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina.
No, when we talk, can they hear us?
No, you kind of low, Brother Sadiq. You had to bring the mic up a little bit.
Now can you hear me better?
Much better, brother.
All right. Yeah, now we want to say this, you know, for those that are just joining this broadcast, you're listening live here on New Black Panther Party Radio, you just heard words from our brothers, our special guest calls every Thursday night here on New Black Panther Party Radio, Brother Eugene Thompson. We want to thank you for the wise words that you just said, brother, when it relates to self-motivation and the plight of our people. You know, based on what we're talking about, what we've been talking about, you know, our brothers and sisters of the Texas, at the United States border in Texas, Del Rio, and, you know, it's troubling. Currently, you know, we're in the area, the fact-finding mission, the people's investigation has been initiated here by the New Black Panther Party. And this is no different from the thing that, from action that we usually take. Told you all the other night, you know, that we're not going to let sleeping dogs die with this shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, action must be taken, you know, and that's the route that we've always taken here in the New Black Panther Party. We encourage those listening to this broadcast to take time and let's have a time of reason to understand what it is that we need to do and the things that we're able to, you know, hear on this broadcast, the things that we will see, have seen, and will see as things begin, as things continue to, you know, unfold with this very, you know, terrorizing situation that our brothers and sisters and these little babies are going through, you know, it's going to be for us to just take time to realize what it is that we can do. You know, we have to also realize the gravity and the value, the weight of what we're witnessing. The controlled press, they're looking to play this down. That's what they have done. You know, they're reporting this like it's just some fly-by-night situation, but we do not take it as such. You know, there's no way that we could. You know, let us take time to realize what we're seeing and be able to analyze exactly what it is that we're seeing. You know, and then we'll, I want to get into what we know, you know, so far as things continue to unfold. And then shortly we will hear from Brother Kofi Tahaka from the National Black United Front. Now, I want to say, right, and I want to, of course, our National Chairwoman, Sister Crystal Muhammad, you know, I want to say, you know, what you all are seeing, you're seeing pigs on horses, but you all have seen, you're seeing pigs on horses, regardless of the agency they work for, Border Patrol, ICE, don't matter, make a difference. Still a pig on a horse, a pig uniform with a whip. Everybody's seen the images. A lot of people seen the images, and a lot of people seen the videos. These are things that's been disseminated around the world. Now, for us black folks here in this nation, let us realize clearly what we're seeing. We're not seeing the misconduct of the police. We're not seeing a proposition, a place to say defund the police. No, in fact, we're not comparing the KKK to the police. What we're telling our people is that the Ku Klux Klan is the damn police. They are the pigs. These pigs that you're seeing on these horses, they are coming from, you know, a society of vigilante crackers, coming from the collective organizing of the KKK, and now today you have the police department. We don't got to really go into every angle of it. But this is the case. This is what's been laid out, and this is the fact. So the very nature of the cracker is what we are seeing. They are only doing what is natural to them to do, you know, to drive a group of people away into a direction like cattle. These are actions that took place during chattel slavery. And obviously, we can see with our own two black eyes, these are actions and strategies that are still taking place today. We will not act like we are so far removed from chattel slavery. We talk so much about the mental genocide, but we are clearly seeing a physical, literal, actual, touchable genocide and a Klan terrorism. It is Klan terrorism because that's the Klan, a group of cracker pigs. Maybe some of them may be Mexican. We don't know, but we've seen a bunch of white boys, you know what I'm saying, on horses with whips. They want to dumb it down to one cracker had a whip. It don't matter who had the damn whip. The fact is that the whip was involved. And we get so touchy and so up in a bunch when we call a cracker. But where does the word cracker come from? It comes from the cracking of the whip on the backs of slaves, beat, bloody backs, beat down to the white meat, past the white meat. We heard from Dr. Joy LaRue how they would beat us to death, beat us, beat to the bone where the whip would hit the bone, and you would see an exposure of the skin, an exposure of the tendon, and a beating down to the bone. Okay, they are carrying out those same tactics today. What we know is that the Immigration, the Customs Enforcement Agency, ICE, of the United Snakes criminal enterprise and mafia, commonly called the government for some reason, you know, these people are splitting up families. That's right. We said it from their own reports. We will repeat the report. The ICE came out along with the DHS, and they said that they were taking single people who appeared to have no children or family, away on planes. They talked about how those who were, quote, unquote, seeking asylum in the United Snakes would be allowed to stay to see their day in court, okay, as if they have committed a crime. We have also got reports or heard reports of people being taken to jail as if they have committed some type of crime. We have seen with our own eyes the squandering, tight, cock bottle, so-called camp
that we send our people in, you know, it is so sick, reports of it no, being no a horrid sanitation condition. We can only surmise that, of course, there will be no access to clean water, no way to be in a sanitary condition during a time of a global planned release of a biological weapon, pandemic. You know, on top of that, what we are working to clearly understand is how, you know, our brothers and sisters coming from Haiti, where it's geographically located closer to Florida, find themselves in Del Rio. We also have uncovered the fact that a lot of these brothers and sisters, they came up out of South America with reports of the racism being so terrible in Panama, in Chile, and how reports of how in Chile, how our brothers and sisters were called stinking and black, you know, stinking and black, you know, so our people are trying to escape the vice grip of the wicked cracker, both in South American nations and here in the United States of America. This is our Black Nation report, and we give this report because not only do we have to stay up to date on this, but it is not enough, we always say, to just see it, just hear it, and say, oh, I feel so bad for them, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? Because we've seen this boiling up to this point. Since the COVID-19 has been released on the world, there has been no de-escalation of police murder. There have been no six-foot distance rule for the pigs. They rode up on Rayshard Brooks and shot him dead. They was closer to 6 feet. They choked George Floyd out. All of this stuff happened during the COVID epidemic. There have been no de-escalation of politics and political warfare. So, in fact, not only is there a biological weapon being released, but there's an escalation of military occupation in this nation, and it has now descended itself onto the border of the United States of America. And again, family, this is something that we will not allow to happen on our watch. You live here on New Black Panther Party Radio, day 569. You're here with us, our comrades, our brother, our co-host every Thursday night, Brother Eugene Talbert. As we continue with this broadcast, we're here with our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad, and she wanted to also, you know, get in this, and we're going to keep on with this broadcast. So we want to pass it on to our national chairwoman, Black Power.
Black Power family, Black Power. Am I coming in, Brother Eugene?
Yes, sister, you're coming in loud and clear. One love.
One love, one love, Black Power. First and foremost, we want to give honor to the Creator. We want to give thanks to our ancestors as we call upon them in this very serious time. What is taking place at the Texas border regarding to our people in Haiti here in September 2021 is the same condition and climate that was taking place in 1821. Let's look at how this chattel slavery thing occurred. This is no coincidence. Let's not forget it was the Portuguese and the Spaniards that started the transatlantic slave trade. And here it is. And that would have been in what? 1521. 1515. It is a continuation. And our people, look at how the transatlantic slave trade took place. You had Europeans leave Europe, come down into Africa, start enslaving our people, kidnapping our people, stealing our people. And when they stole our people, they took a westerly course through the Caribbean. And what would have been the first location that Christopher Columbus, the criminal, landed in the area, the large island, a country that we would call, at the time, it was called by them Hispaniola, in which this is still the same landmass in which you have one section of Hispaniola, where you have Haiti, and the other section where you have the Dominican Republic. You have the colonialists the language speaking in the Dominican Republic, it would have been under Spanish colonialists. And in the area of Haiti, what they call Haiti, they're speaking the colonial language or had colonial invasion by the French. But all the nations would come through this island. As Spain became, during the time when Europe was in the Dark Ages, one of the richest nations, based on what they call from their wealth, from the so-called discovery of the European, of the so-called New World, to them, which we already inhabited, our ancestors, the original people. Our ancestors had already charted every corner of the earth. And everywhere on the earth you will find original black people from the motherland of Africa, which is where Haiti is. So let's look at the time period before the Haitian Revolution. The longest battle that the Western world had to encounter. Napoleon had to encounter the Haitians. Because of the resistance of our people of Haiti, it's how America so-called got the so-called Louisiana Purchase, in which you get Louisiana and Alabama and all those areas. But Haiti was one of the first successful revolutions of African descended people fighting off and defeating colonial invasion, using their African spirituality, brilliance, and warfare. Today, although Haiti is a very rich land, it sits on so much oil and natural resources. But the people are living in impoverished conditions because of the French have been making the Haitians pay reparations because they got liberated and kicked them off their land. And all of these nations are participating in it. The Bush Clinton Foundation is heavily involved in this. And yes, the new Black Panther Party, Black Cross, is on the ground doing fact-finding at the Texas border. Full reports will be coming in within the next 24 to 48 hours. But our National Chief of Staff just gave you some preliminary information. The United States government is exercising human rights violations. Let me ask you a question, Brother Eugene. Is Haiti a part of the African Union?
Well, sister, yeah, you know, it was conversation brought up a few years ago to adopt Haiti in as a part of the African Union. And so, yeah, they do have some presence within the governmental structure of the African Union. And the headquarters is based in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and they are a part. And as we report from Port-au-Prince in Haiti, Haiti protest is en masse about the U.S. deportation of migrants, and the country is already overloaded with a major crisis from the president being assassinated, as well as the recent storm and earthquake that came through. The Haitian migration officials have asked the U.S. for a humanitarian moratorium. And right now we're waiting to find out a little bit more about how this is going to turn out, but there are more than 14,000 Haitians are to be exported out of the United States, which are now in a place called Del Rio, Texas. And hopefully they will treat the people humanitarian, human-like, instead of beasts of burden.
They are not. And this is what we're here to report. We're in the area of Del Rio. Let me let the world know. Del Rio is only 5 hours from Houston, Texas. It is only 2 hours from San Antonio, Texas. What is going on at the border are human rights violations. The families have been separated. The men and women are being separated, as well as the children. They are arresting individuals, putting them in jail. And they are deporting them, saying that they're individuals and not families, when they purposely separated them. And the children are in separate detention centers. This has been going on in Texas with the other people, with the people from Central and South America since the Trump administration. There have been, and what we will give the facts of, it is not only a U.S. issue that must be addressed, but the African Union must step up as well as the entire United Nations. The lies that America is telling, the lies that America's media is telling, must be exposed. And we're here to expose the lies. People are being treated inhumanely. There is a tent city set up at the border. Thousands of people are piled upon each other. On the U.S. side, there have been many organizations, humanitarian efforts, where people have been coming in attempting to bring water, supplies. And what the United States is doing, they have this church, the Church of Latter-day Saints. They're saying any support you're giving must be turned over to the church. Isn't this the same thing that happened with slavery? Wasn't it the church that said that we were not human and must be made Christians with the Romulus Pontifex? And who were the gatekeepers and record keepers of chattel slavery? It's the same players. I mean, the European governments. It is the same thing taking place in September of 2021. It's no different than 1521, 1621, 1721, or 1821. The same policies are in effect. The way our people are being treated. People, American, black people with other organizations and individuals are on the ground and have been turned around by the U.S. Border Patrol. Racist policies by the Biden administration, just as racist, if not worse, than the Trump administration. And the reason why I say it is worse, because Trump, let it be known that he was a racist bigot. But Biden came in and said, I need the black vote, and I'm going to do something for black people. And he's done nothing. The same time, this crisis, this humanitarian crisis, when our people were fleeing not only a natural disaster with the earthquake, but a political upheaval with the assassination of the Haitian president through European colonial forces. This is a human rights crisis. Just as we are on the ground, the New Black Panther Party, all New Africans, all United Nations, this is, must be brought to the forefront. While you're spending 99% of your energy talking about this biological weapon of the coronavirus that was disseminated and spread throughout the globe. And these United States government, the President Biden, not only did he say he was going to address the border issues, they're addressing it is the same policy as the Bush administration. I'm sorry, the Republican Trump administration that we saw and that have been taking place for years with the brothers and sisters from Central and South America and Mexico, Central and South America, that is. Now it is our people. Unfortunately, and I can say this, being in Texas, where we have a lot of people who are immigrants and witness the injustice that are going on, or families that witness the injustice that are going on, or have been intimidated about speaking about what was happening to their people because they fear getting imported. When I tell you black people in America, we need to raise our voice. We have no fear of getting deported. It is on our watch. And as we stand up for the people of Haiti, yes, of course, we're going to have to speak up about the pattern of human rights violations that are taking place. This is crimes against humanity. Denying political asylum. Political asylum. It is not a question that the president was assassinated in Haiti just a few months ago. And there's political upheaval, toppled by an earthquake and then hurricanes. And yes, the people from the vast port, from what we've been told, when these upheavals were going, they went west into South America, into Chile, and forced out of Chile, and pushed up into this Mexican border. Come on. What's really going on? What kind of wars did they have to take to come across as a family and to get to the Texas borders and have your family separated, just as in chattel slavery? Because it is chattel slavery. And it is on our watch. We have work to do. As you talked about the stock market, who is the biggest stock? It has always been black people. The stock market in the United States was started off the slave market, Wall Street. And as America's stock market is plummeting, the African stock market is on the rise. It is on our watch. We are not going to allow the American media to whitewash this, to whiteball what's going on. It's just plain and simple. You have the church blocking humanitarian aid when tens of thousands of people need basics, water, fresh clothes. We don't need no damn gatekeeping church to be the middle person to take these resources. We need to put these in the hands of our people. We need to hear from the Haitians. We don't need to hear from fucking Don Lemon, Como, Richard Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Anderson Cooper. Hell, it is just only for the moment that you even hear from us. We need to hear from our people, and you will be hearing from them. We are working with other brothers and sisters. The comrades with out of Atlanta came down. Jay Morrison and his group, the Atlanta group, is organizing with the Haitians. Other groups have been organizing with our Haitian brothers and sisters. This is not a sprint, just an overnight night, overnight sound bleak. This is a humanitarian crisis. These are acts of warfare. Have you seen any European families separated coming to the American borders seeking political asylum? Hell no. They sent these crackers here with land grants, whole families, and everything, told them they had a manifest destiny. All kind of immigrants. and these invaders from Europe. We got to stop, and I keep seeing on the news these black reporters, they talk so sorry. They talk so slave-minded. They are talking like house niggas. Whatever the slave master tells them to report, they sticking to the script. People sitting on the TV crying. You better wipe your goddamn tears. The Haitians ain't, they're the ones going through it. You sitting your fat ass on the TV shows. Talking about, oh, it's just a shame what's going on in Haiti. At the front with the Haitians, at the border in Texas. This is no foreign land. This is Texas. You know where George Bush come from? Where Sis Chris gonna be at? This is right here. All you gotta do, you can drive down from Atlanta. You can be at this location within about just like you're going to Chicago. If you're coming from South Carolina, all y'all gotta do is get to I-10. It's just like you're going to LA. It's way before you get to LA. It's not some far out the way place and some scary place called the border. What is a border? It is a road. Okay, we know the government's not going to do anything but lie, deceive. This is on our responsibility, I must say. The more of us come together and converge, they send out the same usual suspects, show up in them. Oh, Lord. Reverend this, Reverend that. What the hell are they going to do? I tell you what, brothers and sisters. We have had support coming from people from across America, sending monetary contributions. We have galvanized supplies to distribute, and the first crew today was turned around. So more of us are coming on board. At 12 noon, we will be at the Del Rio City Hall on tomorrow. And we will once again move forward to bring the aid to our people and give you more information. But everyone must take an assignment. We're not going to let anybody off the hook. The United States government, black people here in America, black people in Africa, anywhere, AFRICOM, CARICOM, we need all hands on deck. Where are they? Okay, if people love Haiti because of political upheaval and natural disaster, I'm talking about really earthquakes, hurricanes, to come receive humanitarian support and were kicked out of or forced out of or suffered such oppression that they had to leave South America and came to North America. And those of us here in North America, are we going to really just sit around and listen to CNN, ABC, and the White House? Are these your masters? I don't think so. The African Union must make a call for direct human rights investigation and also humanitarian aid. Where if people have been displaced, these 14,000 people, where would they be sent to? These children that were separated from their parents, where's the accountability? We know that there has been horrific reports of what was happening to those children from Central and South America, from pedophilia to sex trafficking and everything. It's already been a sex trafficking problem going on at these borders.
Let me weigh on some of that, sister.
Come on, brother Lee Jean, what you say?
Yeah, let me weigh in on some of that right quick while you got, while I have this on mind, you speaking about that. And we definitely want to let our brothers and sisters know that a lot of our brothers and sisters who are living in South America, they get treated like the very well garbage, the bottom of the garbage can. They get treated like shit. And little is known that they are very prejudiced towards certain groups of black people who live in those places, in Mexico and in Colombia and Venezuela, you name it, all the way down, Rio, treated and harmed and pretty much go through the same type of stuff that we go through here in the United States with the Babylonian nations. A lot of their black people are disenfranchised, and they don't tell you anything about really what's going on in the black communities in those nations because it's kept very quiet. But our Haitian brothers and sisters are strong and resilient and have endured a lot of pain and hardship because of what General Toussaint defeated Napoleon in the 1800s and are still paying for it today. The nation is very rich in resources and has very strong political ideology that has freed man, but is being punished because of this. We must stand up and unite and help defend each other. Now, as far as the Haitian nation being a part of the African Union, there have been some conflicts of interest is what I've been getting myself diverse with. And some people say that they do have an affiliation with the African Union, but we do know that they have an affiliation with the CARICOM agreement and initiative, and many of those nations, neighboring nations, should be able to stand up and assist those people as being a part of that united front. So yeah, let's get into it and see what we can do about it as people, black people, helping and assisting one another. And this is where Ujamaa come into place. And I'll yield the mic to you, sister. One love.
That's right, brother.
Black power.
So we told you all that we would be joined by National Black United Front National Chairman, Brother Kofi Talanka. With us online tonight. Can you hear us, comrade? Black Power.
Black Power, yes, I can. I can hear you.
Black Power, Brother Kofi. Hey, I gotta say this. I gotta probably bring our brother on. Man, first time I 19 years old at Texas Southern University. His brother, the National Black United Front, did a program at in Houston. And they had a Malcolm X playing. I was like, man, who's that? They'd never heard of Malcolm X. 19 years old, in college. That's how they whitewashed this out of our so-called food system. And I joined the Black United Front, the first organization I ever joined. And this is how I got my teeth broke in doing on-the-ground organizing. And Brother Kofi has been an ally of the New Black Panther Party, my comrade when I was in the Black United Front, the Nation. Never got kicked out of any of these organizations. I just kept evolving and, you know, growing and learning all of these great institutions. And the call was made 48 hours ago by the National Black United Front for the organization in Houston to come out and make a stand, a statement about what was going on outside the federal building from yesterday in Houston. So without further ado, I would like to present to some, reintroduce to others, Brother Kofi Talanka. We have our new African report every Thursday night. Brother Eugene Talford out of North Carolina. with ETC Logistics. He's a liaison with the African Union, does our Pan-African report every Thursday. And so he's on, Brother Kofi. So we want to give you the floor, as I know you have a business to attend to. But you got the floor, Brother Black Power.
Yeah, Black Power to you, sister, and to all of the brothers and sisters that are listening and the other guests. We thank you for the opportunity to come on and say a few words. As you said, yesterday, we called for action at the federal building, and we got a good turnout from many of the seasoned and hardcore activists and organizers and groups and institutions here in Houston. And the statement that we wanted to make had to do with, we couldn't understand these horrific images that we're seeing from Del Rio and the border with our sisters and brothers from IAT without properly understanding, first and foremost, the history. So listening to the brother, I know that y'all are well-versed on the history, the shining example of revolutionary fervor and success of a black republic that we still look to even to this day, with Cecile Fatima and Bookman and Toussaint and Dessalines and Marie Jean and just all of the sisters and brothers who are great Egun ancestors, that we look to them today, that we know Haiti is a very strong, independent African nation. However, what has happened since that time, as the brother said before, they've been punished. They've been punished by these European Western powers, including the United States and France, going from the time of that revolution all the way through the occupation of the country, and I think it was 1915 to 19, to U.S.-backed coup d'etats, to humanitarian scams from the U.N. and the Clinton Foundation and others. And the effort has been very deliberate to destabilize the country and produce what we see going on at the border. We also said to those people who are representing the government in the Biden-Harris administration on the local level as well as the state level with the governor here, Governor Abbott. I'm sure you are aware they are massing Texas state troopers on the U.S. side of the border that stop the terror against our people, and they are seeking asylum is not against the law. And we wanted to make that point very clear. On the self-determination front, we believe as a principle of organizing in the National Black United Front that we must connect with legitimate grassroots on the ground forces in Haiti, in IAT, those from IAT that are here within America, because they are best suited to lead themselves, that they can lead themselves and they decide whatever it is relationship they want to have with the rest of the world as well as relative to this humanitarian crisis. Now, we all have been down and we may have different capacities or different assignments, but we definitely need to adhere to that basic organizing principle to make sure to the best of our ability that we connect with our sisters and brothers either in Haiti that are from Haiti or that are from Haiti descent. And we also made the point on yesterday, dear Sister Crystal, that it is important for us to analyze who we are making alliances with when in the emotion of the moment and what have you, that we look at are these, if they are brothers and sisters from Haiti or of Haitian, are they from the elite class, which have been a part of the problem that have helped and been co-conspirators with destabilizing the country? So we need to do some vetting to the best of our ability of some of these entities, understanding that people operate in various lanes. And then just that point of dealing with legitimate humanitarian aid relief support because as Sister Crystal knows, some of the brothers and sisters are here in Houston right now. And theory and rhetoric and everything, that's all fine and good. They hear, they, people are saying they speak Creole. They need interpreters. They need food. They need host families. They need a lot of different just like basic things. So, and then the self-determination type of efforts that the New Black Panther Party is doing under the leadership of Sister Crystal Muhammad, then we got to support those two to the best of our capabilities. So that's pretty much the position in a short format of the National Black United Front. And we've been talking to allies and people from New York and Miami and just, you know, a lot of different places. And I know that the brothers and sisters are well seasoned, but for those maybe who are listening, there's some great books on IAT to help us further understand some of that history. The Irritated Genie by Jacob Carruthers, The Black Jacobins by C.L.R. James, and I'm sure there are plenty others that are out there. So, you know, that's essentially what it is that our position has been, Sister Crystal.
All right. So can you hear me, Kofi?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Black Power. Yes, sir. So you mentioned some other groups. So the National Black United Front has been very involved on the international level, and we have one of our diaspora representatives here on with the African Union. And we mentioned, you know, like CARICOM, like, not only domestically that needs to be worked, but what do you see as being on the international world stage type of pressure needs to be moved forward as well?
Well, I'll tell you this, that we were talking with some of the allies in New York. This is the United Nations week going on right now. Some of the sisters and brothers from the December 12th movement, they had done something pre-planned already relative to Zimbabwe. And when the United Nations situation was going on, well, you got these people from all over the world there. And they did report to us that there had been some different forces that were doing some public demonstrations and what have you there, but they couldn't even get close to the United Nations. I don't personally know a lot about CARICOM. The general sense is that that's a good formation to be aligned with, that's what I've heard. Right now, our national representative, vice chairwoman of international affairs, she's living in Tanzania, East Africa, and that's Sister Swatara Olashola. And she's getting up to speed on a lot of these particular issues and what have you. So, you know, on the international stage, I think we got to do the same thing. We got to do our proper vetting. We got to make sure that some of the people that we choose to link with and what have you are aligned at least in the same ballpark as some of our politics.
The same question to you, Brother Eugene. What is it that we should be doing to get the African, you know, on the international front regarding to the African Union and to, you know, get in some direct response, action, aid, pressure? What are the things that we need to be making, bringing to the table or demanding? Like, what
yeah,
we need
sure.
to have some clear demand.
Yeah, for sure. And this is some of the information that Dr. Erykana Turnberry-Kwa, the former ambassador of the African Union, was headquartered in Washington, D.C., had brought us to the table a few years ago to discuss how do we get the what's called the Sixth Region, which is known as the African diaspora, how do we become more engaged with what's happening with the African Union, as well as being able to present ourselves well beyond what the U.S. has recognized us as, but recognizing us as a nation of people in the Council of the United Nations Council, in front of the United Nations Council, expressing with much of the atrocities that we have endured and many of the things, complications that we've come up with have not been addressed in front of court system, and therefore utilizing the United Nations as a platform in order to be able to do so. But we're moving in the right direction as a nation of people. I don't want us to be deterred by some of the things that come up that we have to deal with as a nation of people. We all know that one man is not an island, and it takes many people to be able to get things done. And that's what we're here for, the New African Network, the New Black Panther Party, and many of our other black grassroots organizations coming together as a united front, not just to only address certain things when they come up, such as what's happening right now on the border, but also to relay and respond to things that we know we need to be dealing with as a nation of people.
Yes, sir. So okay, that's on the international level. Now, right here on the ground, locally, domestically, I know, Kofi, you're a great organizer, a history of organizing. Like, to the people that listen, we have people listening from all over the country to this broadcast, in fact, all over the planet. But in particularly, let's deal with them locally. Where does the pressure need to be here, in your opinion, and what would be some of the specific demands that we should be demanding in regards to what's going on with our people here in IT?
Yeah, for sure. And especially right there in Del Rio. I think reaching out to right there in Texas, and specifically in the town where all of that is taking place. We need to find out, are there any African black people on the city council or perhaps within the mayor's office that can
I can tell you this, Del Rio, you probably would have 0.0% of Africans in the Del Rio. You barely have any Europeans down here. That's a fact. So, that's, you know, to be quite honest, but, that, you know, I can tell you that right now. You know, I have family that works in this area right now, so this is just not. But,
so
but
the,
even
the
I'm saying, like.
The odds are pretty much stressed out against them how things are set up down there, for sure. That's what it sounded like.
Well.
But, yeah, you know, put that pressure on the mayor's office from the local level. Also, you must have direct contact with the local police departments or whatever federal institution that's involved in helping to regulate that. That pressure must be on those institutions to let them know that there are people watching them for what they do.
Right. Now, Brother Kofi, you know, I'm asking this to you too, because, like I said, Del Rio is even though it's the majority Chicano, but as far as San Antonio, it's just 2 hours away. Houston is only 5 hours away. Austin would be only, I think, maybe three, you know, the state capital is only three or so hours away. So, you know, the governor is not far. You know, the state representatives, you know, the Congress people, like, in your opinion, what is, you know, politically, where should we be focusing and pushing our demands to?
Well, I think it's multi-pronged. I want to go back a little bit. The Border Patrol is a federal agency that is under the Department of Homeland Security, I believe. So wherever brothers and sisters are in the country, whoever your congressional representatives are, so-called representatives in this government, as well as senators, that's where you can call and put some pressure right there saying, look, treat the these entities need to treat the brothers and sisters humanely and let them into the country, right? They are asylum seekers, so therefore there's no crime in them being asylum seekers. We know that these people that are within power, many have just seen one of the biggest evacuations and airlifts in the history of the world over in Afghanistan. They brought those people over here. So if they decided, if enough pressure is put, then they can allow all of the people, all of the sisters and brothers who are desiring to come in and seek asylum there. So that's on the national, on the federal level. In terms of the state that is influencing what's going on this side is the state of Texas. That's the state of Texas. That's Governor Abbott and what have you. And it's incumbent upon primarily some of us that are in Texas to put proper pressure on state representatives, state senators, and those individuals to let them know that these are our positions and these are what our demands are. So, you know, that can be done in a lot of different forms. Now, just like on the ground, grassroots, what have you, piece, there, you know, you made an excellent point, Sister Crystal. And I never like to speak beyond our ability to do and just be talking, right? But if there's nothing stopping some type of major organized caravan of African people, of black people, of anybody who's allied to go to that border, right, as a show of force and support. So, you know, that's just, you know, something that I throw out there as a particular idea with people that are close enough to move. And if people have the means, there's nothing stopping anybody from any place actually going to the border. But having some type of mass show of support down there in Del Rio is something that would be effective, in my opinion. So those are some of the, check this out.
Here goes some logistics, Brother Eugene. You gonna like this? ETC logistics. All right. So Del Rio, like Brother Eugene said, pressure put on the mayor and local people there. Everyone in America, no matter what state you're in, you need to be making your voices known to your congressional and senators, no matter where you're at. And then those of us here in Texas, the pressure must be on the governor. And also, here goes some logistics. Del Rio is only 2 hours from San Antonio. Del Rio is only 5 hours from Houston. It's just like going to New Orleans. Instead of going east, you go east from Houston to New Orleans is 5 hours on I-10. West is 5 hours to Del Rio on I-10. From Dallas, it's only 7 hours. That's just like going to Atlanta. So instead of going, what is that, 30-something to Atlanta, going north, this time you're going to go south. It's not difficult. 2 hours from San Antonio, 5 hours from Houston, 7 hours from Dallas. You got enough black people in this Texas area to converge on Del Rio, period. And this president and all of these congressional and Senate people who want us to turn the other cheek, as I said, we've witnessed this going on with the people from Central and South America. And many of those people were less, although there has been work, but the magnitude or there's been a lot of intimidation of those people, I should say, because of fear of immigration and families being separated. Let me ask you guys this. Now, we talk about, but we don't have that problem as black people. We're not worried about being deported. I understand that folks are organizing, then what? Okay, so this is the work that we're going to need all hands on deck on. Hey, so with that being said, I'm going to pass the mic for a second so I don't give up our location, but we're here.
We're the first call. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to have to jump off for another appointment, but I want to thank you for
the opportunity.
The New Black Panther Party and those listening around the country, you can catch us. Look for MBUF, National Black United Front Houston, on some of the social media handles to kind of get up to speed on anything that we are collaborating with, that we're involved with, and so forth. And I thank you for the opportunity to talk to the brothers and sisters.
Yes. Thank you for coming on, Brother Kofi, Black Power. So we're
Black
doing
Power.
A call to action. Tomorrow we have a 12 noon call to action at the Del Rio City Hall. There was a call to action earlier today, and this will be a continual. So we're going to keep giving you guys the intel, the update, and I'm getting ready to pass the mic right quick. Brother Eugene, we need you to build, pull this bill for about, this right here?
Yeah.
We need to pull this bill for about 10 minutes because we're moving. I don't want to say on the radio how we're moving. Black Power.
Black Power, sister. Black Power. Well, for sure. We're definitely going to keep our eyes out, and we are going to keep our prayers out, going out to our brothers and sisters who are on the borderline down there in Del Rio, Texas, our Haitian brothers and sisters. Also, we want to say for those of you who are interested in learning more about what you can do, we have a contact who is part of the New Africa Network. Her name is Sister Joanna LaBlanca, and if you are on the network, you can tap into Sister Joanna. She works directly with the Haitian Embassy. It will be certainly a good guiding connection that could give you some feedback for how you can become more engaged in what's taking place. We also want to continue to explore our efforts with the Haitian people of doing the same thing we're doing with the Meseret Humanitarian Project in Ethiopia. A big shout out go out to the Buffalo Soldiers who donated a significant amount of goods to go over as a part of that humanitarian resource. And the Buffalo Soldiers will be providing us also with their logo to go on side of the barrels. Right now we have about 5 to 6 barrels all together, and we continue to advertise those brothers and sisters in Ethiopia who are in need at the orphanages, ages from toddler all the way up to age 14, 15, pre-teenage, and we're donating our resources and humanitarian efforts to help them out. We also look forward to doing that for the Haitian people in the near future, and we would like for those of you who are on the New Africa Network platform, you can contact Sister Joanna LeBlanc directly and let her know that you'd like to be more involved in some of the humanitarian resource efforts. Also, Dr. Erikana Churumbera-Kwa of the African Development Institute of Washington, D.C., will be hosting a major conference for those of you who are interested in getting engaged in some of the African mining and investment opportunities. She's also heavily engaged with many of the African governments through her affiliation with the African Union. She and Sister Sylvia Robertson, you can reach her right-hand man or right-hand person, right-hand woman, Sister Sylvia Robertson at 615-572-5306. That's 615-572-5316. And get yourself registered with the African Diaspora Development Institute. This is a great organization. It's very grassroots affiliated, and it has a very business-oriented concept. Sister Eric Kenya is continuing the movement of the Back Black to Africa movement, and we certainly want to be engaged in as a part of this. Other than that, some little information from the African diaspora in Guinea. On September 5th, the controversial Guinea president exile situation with the President Alpha Conde was disposed from power by elite military group and by commander
Commander Mamadé, I believe is Duyumage was seen as a liberator of the people and defender of democracy. However, with the ECOWAS and the African Union engagement on what took place with the coup itself, there's zero tolerance in their policy towards any type of military takeover. And so right now, just until Guinea can figure out what's going to be happening there with getting a new person in place or elected official, ECOWAS, and along with the African Union, have suspended their participation in the actual union itself. So we give a big shout out to our brothers and sisters in the country of Guinea, and hopefully they'll be pulling their political situation together, as along with our brothers and sisters who are in Haiti right now, undergoing and experiencing somewhat the same situation. And I guess what we can do is to relay to people how they can get tuned in through the YouTube broadcast with the New Africa Network. You can see many of our talk shows and dialogues on the YouTube platform at African United Business, and get yourself plugged in. Like I said, we have more than 300,000 black brothers and sisters united and connected doing business worldwide. We're coming together to forge this Exodus program that we've been working on, calling the Black to Africa Movement, the Blacksit Movement that's being spearheaded by Sister Juliet Ryan, who is already there in the Gambia. And so for more information about that, get in touch with any of us here at the New Black Panther Organization, New Africa Network. As you know, it's getting hard out here for what? Trying to get this money for the rent, for the Cadillac, and the gas money is spent. We got a whole lot of what? Jumping ship. This is 3-6. I'm Brother Eugene, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We look forward to being with you this time next week. One love.
Black power, brother. I want to thank you, brother, for being on tonight, as well as the National Black United Front.
Music.
For the Kofi. We're going to take a music break, and we'll come back to this broadcast. Y'all stay tuned to Black Power.
The world is divided into many, many different categories, but one of the categories which interests those of us who are concerned with advancing humanity the most is that between the conscious and the unconscious. This division between the conscious and the unconscious must be properly understood. The people instinctively love freedom, and they will instinctively fight for freedom. But you cannot win freedom on instincts. You can only win freedom on reason. Therefore, the unconscious are those who react on instinct. The conscious are those who react on reason. The job of the conscious is to make the unconscious conscious. Let us make a simple example. I think it was in 1992, after one more brutal beatings too many, the African population in Los Angeles, California, revolted, rose up in righteous rebellion. This was instinctively revolutionary. Instinctively in the sense that it wasn't planned. Instinctive in the sense that it was this reaction to brutality. And this instinctive revolutionary act was very costly to American capitalism. It even had to bring in the American army, very costly. But since it was on instinct, it had no reason, nothing to direct it, it would spin itself out. Those who participated were largely unconscious. We must come to understand that the overwhelming majority of our people are unconscious. But just because they're unconscious, you shouldn't think they don't want freedom. As a matter of fact, sometimes the unconscious is quicker willing to give their lives in struggle than the conscious. These are simple facts. Would you imagine what it would be like when we are conscious rebellious, when we consciously organize to rebel in Los Angeles with reason? I mean, making supply lines, making sure armaments are there, having hospital aid, having fire brigades, just like they do even in Ireland. Nothing big, just a little planning. Just a little planning. This is what we want to speak to you about this evening. Making the unconscious conscious. Now, we must say from the very beginning, the only, underline the word only, the only route to consciousness is through struggle. Now, for example, we've shown you the unconscious struggle. Those who rose up in righteous rebellion against the state police in Los Angeles, they were consciously involved in struggle. They were involved in struggle, unconscious, but involved in struggle. The conscious must understand precisely what their task is, and we've said this 2 years ago here, we repeat it. Ours is not to teach the people to be conscious, but to make them conscious of their unconscious behavior. Our task is not to teach the conscious to teach the unconscious to be conscious, but to make them conscious of their unconscious behavior. Because unconsciously, instinctively, they seek freedom. What we must do is make them conscious. Look, you want freedom anyway. Let's be serious. Let's sit down. Let's plan it. Let's wage protracted war, and let's tear down the system and walk on to liberation. It's as simple as that. This aspect of the unconscious becoming conscious is linked to mobilization and organization, something we mentioned last year. We must make clear distinctions between mobilizers and organizers. To be an organizer, you must be a mobilizer. But being a mobilizer doesn't make you an organizer. Much confusion is to be found here. Malcolm X was a great mobilizer. He was a great organizer. Martin Luther King was a great mobilizer. He was not a great organizer. These facts can be easily seen from King and Malcolm. When Malcolm went to a place, he left a mosque. When King went to demonstrations, he broke down desegregation and he moved on. As a matter of fact, King was not concerned with organization to the point that even though he was the most popular Baptist preacher in America, without the shadow of a doubt, and probably, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the most loved, he could not become president of the Baptist, National Baptist Convention. Yeah, so many of them. The National Baptist Convention. As a matter of fact, if my memory serves me correctly now, and I remember it was Muhammad Speaks that carried the article on the front page in 1964, when King tried to become president of the National Baptist Convention, there was so much confusion there that a minister was actually pushed off the stage and died in the struggle. Yeah. And of course, King lost. The man who won was a reactionary man by the name of Jackson. He never did nothing for the people, never cared about the people, just was a pork chop minister who used their money to put gas in his big Cadillac. But he was organized. We say that we must come to know the difference between mobilization and organization because the enemy will use mobilization to demobilize us. Mobilization is very easy. Very, very easy. Because since we're people who are instinctively ready to respond against acts of injustice, anytime there's one little act of injustice, we can blow it up and we'll find people who come and make some mass demonstration around it. Miss Sally lost her job. Let's rally. She'll get her job back. People will come and rally. So-and-so got kicked out of school because the teacher's unjust. The people will come and rally. They will come to rally at issues. And this is what mobilization does. It mobilizes people around issues. Those of us who are revolutionary are not concerned with issues. We're concerned with the system. The difference must be properly understood. The difference must be properly understood. Mobilization usually leads to reform action, not to revolutionary action. If we would look scientifically at the October 16 million and more march, we would see clearly that this was a mobilized event, not an organized event. We must know clearly the difference between mobilization and organization. One of the characteristics...
In the name of their European masters. So then when I talk about black upon black violence in this book, or we talk about the young men and women in the U.S. Army today, recognize then that we are talking about nothing new, but something that is continuous with the very essence and nature of imperialism and racism. Recognize also that when we talk about black on black violence, we are talking about a violence that violence produced. That black upon black violence is reflective of white on black violence. And that ultimately it reflects the violence that this Eurocentric and European community has practiced upon black people and our reactions to that violence. When we then talk about a racist society, an imperialistic society, recognize then that we are talking about a crimogenic society. What do we mean by crimogenic society? Of course, racism is a crime against humanity and a crime against our race. Imperialism is a crime against our race as well. And therefore, when you have a racist society and an imperialistic society, you have a crimogenic society. What do we mean then by a crimogenic society? Of course, dealing with the word genesis, we are talking about the idea of generating the beginning, as in the word genesis, to begin, the source of, the point of creation of. So when we talk about this society as a crimogenic society, we are talking about this society then as the source of crimes, as the generator of criminality, as the creator of criminals, a society that is run by criminals, and a society then that ultimately criminalizes its population and criminalizes the total system. I had a piece here, you know, there's some of you here who are middle class and you think you're nice. You think you're non-criminal. A criminal society criminalizes all of its constituents. I don't have time tonight to read to you the justification for that piece. Oh, there's some of you who've been in the church and you think you're good. Read in Black on Black Violence where I talk about your dumb goodness. A goodness that maintains sin and criminality. We don't have time to talk about it tonight. You're in the church, but you're guilty too. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, when the leadership of a nation lies to that nation, when it deceives that nation, when it miseducates that nation and falsifies facts, it falsifies the consciousness of the people who inhabit that nation. And when it falsifies their consciousness, it recruits those of its people into its criminality. So whether you know it or don't know it, you're a part of the game. Oh, yes. We have to confront our responsibility for this criminal situation as well. Yes, we do. Whether you're looking at us as so-called middle class, remember those of you who are making it in this society, who are making great profits, great accomplishments, sitting at the same tables with your white masters, that you're sitting and profiting from the death and murder and destruction of your ancestors. That as you eat with your white masters, you are eating the flesh and spirits of your people. You can cover it up and lie to yourself and claim it's your individual striving that got you where you're going. That you are taking advantage of opportunity. But remember, these opportunities were based on the death and destruction of African people and the continuing death and destruction of African people. Those of you rolling around in the church and carrying on in the same position as well. But let me continue. This society is a society of criminals, run by criminals, and it is a creator of criminals. And we must recognize it. And I have to say that because we got some people out here who say, I want my children to be just like them. That's the ultimate goal. I don't want there to be any differences. What are you talking about? You want them to be enslavers, rapists, and robbers, and killers, and murderers, and imperialists, and so forth, just like the other folk, right? Think again, ladies and gentlemen. But due to that time, I'm just going to have to rush through here. I accuse the society of being a crimogenic society, a criminal society, a society that engages in white-on-black violence for a number of reasons. And of course, as you can tell often, the psychology of an individual or people in terms of their origins and early childhood experiences, you can look at then the psychology of a people in terms of their origins and early childhood of their race. And when we look then at the origins of this society, we must immediately recognize that it is a society founded on criminal activities. Yes, and that is this inheritance today. It is still a part of it. A society that is a crimogenic society, and a society that engages on white, on black violence, because it is founded on the murder and theft of Indian peoples and Indian lands. It is a crimogenic society, a criminal society, and a society that practices white on black violence, because it is a society founded on the kidnapping of African people, the manslaughter of African people in the mid-passage, the extortion from African people of their labor, and the enslavement of African people. Therefore, the very nature and foundations of this society rest on two massive genocidal crimes, and this original crime is a part of its nature today. It is a crimogenic society because this group of people cannot face their own criminality. They must engage in the psychology of denial and repression and distortion. And this denial and distortion and repression must suffuse throughout the total society, throughout its total institutions, throughout its total values, and therefore ultimately it must pervert its total population. It is a criminal society and a white-on-black violent society because it engages in the crime of breach of contract. It has breached the contract of its constitution. It breached the contracts it made with African people during the reconstructions. It breached its contracts of the 14th, 15th, and other amendments. It breached its contracts in reversing its rulings in the 1860s, 1870s, 1980s, and 1990s. It breached its contracts in terms of sharecropping, the peonage of our people, going back on the 40 acres and a mule and all the rest of the things. It is a criminal society because it constantly engages in assault and battery against its black populations. It engaged in historical lynching, and behind the walls, as my brother mentioned here, of prisons, it still now engages in legal lynchings of African people. It engages in Klan terrorism, which it is still engaged in today. It engages in race riots where it destroys the African people. It engages in police riots, and it engages in police brutality where over 300 or more of our young men and women have been destroyed in the city of New York alone. It is a criminal society, and it is a crimogenic society, and a society that engages in white-on-black violence because it is indicted on the charges of official malfeasance when it revokes its mandate in terms of giving justice to its people and makes this justice system an instrument of injustice, when its so-called rehabilitative system is a school for criminality. It engages in official malfeasance when it rigs its juries, when it legally lynches the ones it so woefully sentences. It engages in official malfeasance when it engages in gerrymandering of black districts, when it betrays the mandates of black voters, when it builds, as my brother mentioned here, prisons as industries so that the incarceration of black men becomes a profit-making industry and a means by which the ruling class makes war against the subordinate classes. It engages in criminal activity, and it is a criminal society when it engages in unfair labor practices, job discrimination, when at the end of the Reconstruction there were more black skilled workers than there were whites, and the whites unionized to keep the blacks from taking advantage of the opportunities that were available to them. It is indicted for labor racketeering when it runs black men away from its construction sites, when we go into a black community where housing is supposedly being made and built for black residents, and we see few, if any, black men building those houses. And when those black men come to work on those sites, they are chased away by the police and the construction workers. And when they are chased away and made to stand on the corners, then they are accused of refusing to work and desiring not to work. We accuse this society of being a crimogenic society, of being a criminal organization, of being an organization that engages in chronic white-on-black violence, when it engages in drug trafficking, when it imports the drugs that poisons our neighborhoods and destroys the consciousness of our people, destroys their health. We see a crimogenic people from way back engaging in the selling of opium to the Chinese and in engaging in opium wars. We see this drug trafficking group of people engaging in alcohol addiction when they used it to destroy Indians, when they used it to destroy African chiefs who, under the influence of the alcohol, often signed away their peoples and their nations. We accuse it of drug addiction and drug trafficking when it traded guns for drugs to carry on its warfare in Central and South America. We accuse it of being a criminal nation, a criminal people, a criminal nation, a crimogenic society, when it engages in gun running across the world, when it sells the very weapons that will be used to destroy its own sons and daughters. We accuse it of criminality when it acts to maintain an evil military-industrial complex. We accuse it of being a criminal society when it sells its death wares across the world? How many of us recognize that we are dealing here with merchants of death? That these people are dead and deadly. People who are robbing black people at home so that they can rob black people abroad. We accuse this nation of being a crimogenic society and the ruling white population of being a criminal people, because they engage in economic extortion, taxation of black people without representation, the redlining of black communities as they steal the savings and investment of black people, as they disinvest in the black community, as they do not return loans to the black community and use the monies that the black communities and the black church place in their coffers to export jobs out of the community into suburbs beyond the black, to the reach of the black population. When they export jobs outside of the country totally and starve our black men and women in Detroit and the other urban centers of this world, we accuse them of economic extortion when they deindustrialize this nation and ship out the blue-collar jobs that maintain the families of black people across this country and ship them to other places and exploit the other populations of this world. We accuse them of imperial criminality and of organized crime. This nation is an organized mafia operation. I have indicated to you that it is best when you look at the international situation that you will come away with a better understanding if you apply the concepts of mafia psychology to the international relations that are going on right now and that have been going on. We don't have time to talk about a chapter I do in here that I call quantifying the myth. You know, the myth of making black people appear to be more criminal than white people, a myth that is statistically supported by the number of black men and women arrested, by the number of black men and women incarcerated, by the number of black men and women under probation and parole. And of course, now we are supposed to look at those statistics and compare them between black and white. And because we see more blacks arrested, more blacks in jail, more blacks in probation and parole, we are supposed to make the illogical assumption that blacks are more criminal than whites. I told you time and time again, ladies and gentlemen, that in a society that's based on lies, as this one is, in a society that can only exist based on deception, that truth is reversed. That's in essence what a lie is. And therefore, when you look at the so-called statistics that seek to establish the criminality of black people, turn it around and turn them around, and you will recognize that the criminals are outside the prisons. We don't have time to talk about it tonight, but that's the value of having power, you see. You can make criminal whatever you want to make it. You can legitimize your own criminality and perverseness. You can call virtue a crime and arrest people for being virtuous. And then you can look at the statistics and say, aren't they more criminal because they are in jail? Some of you read the recent situation here in the Hasidic community where a bunch of Jews ran out, broke arms, and hurt the police, what, about two or three dozen policemen. This, of course, comes after a time when they broke into a police precinct station and ransacked.